Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead and open up to Luke 16. I always enjoy watching the mind, the flow of the mind of Christ in the services. Listening to Nathan and then Alan this morning. It seemed like this morning the Holy Spirit was really talking about the kingdom of God working through us. What I mean is, where the Lord progressively takes dominion of everything that we are, finding out and finding out and agreeing with the fact that we're no longer under sin. Sin really has no dominion over us. And of course, Nathan always comes on really strong. You know, your accountability factor goes way up. And then Alan comes along with the safety line to keep you from falling off the cliff. He is long-suffering and merciful. I've been at this a while, trust me. He is long-suffering, merciful. He walks through a lot with us, doesn't he? And so we need to be merciful towards other people. But the key in both of those was you can't quit. I don't care how many times you fail. I don't care. You know, you can't quit. You got to get back up, go back to the blood, get forgiven, get cleansed, and go after it again. Because there's only one pattern that we are to conform to, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Romans 12 tells us not to stop, to continue the renewing process of the mind so that we're no longer conformed to this world, but we're conformed to the image of Christ. And so, but now tonight, I think the Holy Spirit wants to continue. But like this morning's really was talking about the working of the kingdom in you, possessing more and more of us. It's kind of like John the Baptist. I must decrease and he must increase. But now tonight, I think he wants to talk about the kingdom of God extending beyond us. Let's get ourselves off our mind here a little bit. Because really, the end goal of this is not just for you to be the recipient of the benefits of the kingdom. He wants you to be a conduit, if you will, a temple, a vessel, through which he can reach the world with the very presence and power of God. So tonight we're going to talk about the kingdom of God flowing from you, through you, from you, into other people. Okay? So that's why we're starting here in Luke 16:16. And this is so important. Because most people don't know this verse right here is one of the reasons that the radical grace preachers are so successful. Because they will say, you don't really have to listen to the teachings of Jesus before the resurrection because he was only preaching the law to the Jews. Well, that's just a bold-faced lie, and it only works on people that don't know their Bible. Because Luke 16:16 tells you, Jesus tells you, red letters, the law and the prophets were until John. John who? John the Baptist. He's talking about the day that he was baptized in the River Jordan and God declared him to be his son and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, or the way we would phrase it today, Jesus himself was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, from that time, since that time, from that event, not before, but from that event, the kingdom of God is preached. And every man presses into it. Well, that's nearly all of Jesus' teaching. I mean, that's the vast majority of what he taught. And he's teaching the kingdom of God. Now, at that moment, he really is the only one where the kingdom of God is flowing through him. I like how Dave said it. Now, he would like put his mantle on the 12, or he would put his mantle on the 70. But they were not really born again yet. You know, he told Nicodemus, he says, you can't see these things or you can't enter into these things until you be born again. But yet he is teaching, and look at it. Since that time, since the day that he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, since that time, what's he preaching? He's preaching the kingdom of God. And he's demonstrating the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you right now, you better pay attention to it. I don't care what the radical grace preachers say. It is, Jesus said, well, it's not the message tonight. He said, you want your house to stand? It's not the ones that hears my sayings. It's the one that hears and that does my sayings. They do apply too. Now, I got a lot of scripture here tonight. You can turn to these or just write them down. But this is really for you For you're going to be teaching others soon, if you're not already. Hebrews says, by this time you should all be teachers. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily the fivefold office of a teacher. But we're going to be discipling people. I'm telling you, that confession that we make during calling in the lost, about 1,000 people being born again every week, shall come to pass. And you're going to have your share of people to be discipling. So you might save these for future reference. Okay? Matthew 24:14. Look at this one. And it says, and this gospel of the kingdom. I like how he worded it. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? In all the world. Why? For a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. It was a long time before I connected that verse up with Jesus sending out the 12 and then later sending out the 70. He didn't say, just go preach, and if they don't believe you, wipe the dust of the city off your sandal. He didn't say that. He said, no, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils, raise the dead, preach the gospel, then if they don't believe you. See, well, this is what he's saying about the whole world. Before the end comes, this gospel of the kingdom, and that means with the manifestation of the truth, where they can see something, not just hear something, is going to be preached in every nation for a witness before the end comes. See, and he said that over, I don't have this verse on there, but it's Acts 1:4, I believe. Here, let me see. I got this marker pretty close. Acts 1:8, actually. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. What he's saying is, I want you to witness in the power of the Holy Ghost. Not just go tell them. Show them and tell them. Yeah, you know, remember in school we had show and tell? Not just tell. Show and tell. That'd be a good title. Show and tell. Anyway, I don't know. And then you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and here unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's the same thing. He wants witnesses in the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the kingdom of God. See, Jesus was on planet earth for 30 years before that baptism. He didn't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. What did he have? He had the new nature. Boy, you can see right there the power of the new nature. He walked sin free for 30 years by the power of the new nature alone. Boy, there it is. There it is. He's our pattern, right? Yeah. That means we can walk sin free. Now, that's the 8:30 and 10 o'clock messages this morning. Okay? But see, from that time he was baptized by John, now the kingdom is not just dealing with him. Now the kingdom is to be manifested through him to others. And that's where God is bringing his church. And everybody listening right now, that you start operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Don't have to turn here, but Matthew 6:9, that's why in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and this is after the baptism of John, he says, pray this way. Matthew 6:9, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now notice, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, I could go ahead and read the rest of it, but I want to focus on thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Now, here's another set of religion, another part of powerless religion you got to get free from. And I mean people that seem to talk right, act right, dress right, have the right PhDs and whatever behind their names and have big churches will tell. I started to say stupid things, but that would be too hard. No, they tell stupid things like everything that happens is the will of God. And they'll usually say in there somewhere, God is sovereign. Trust me, God is sovereign. But everything that happens is not the will of God. Otherwise, Jesus went around upsetting the will of God all the time. The woman bowed over for all those years. Well, if that's the will of God, Jesus sure fixed that. He went against the will of God. That guy born blind, you know. And there, everybody thought, well, it was God's will because somebody had to be sinning. He said, no, I'll show you God's will. Watch this. And he opened the eyes of the blind, see. That's why Jesus, we're on a mission. See, I did some messages here a little while back, basically out of 1 John, where it talks about the whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. You know, everything that's happening is not the will of God. Cancer is not the will of God. All of these horrible things is not the will of God. God has us here on purpose to bring the will of God from heaven to earth. That's what Jesus did. That's what he trained the disciples to do. And that's what he's training us to do. Amen. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When you come up against something that's not God's will. I heard a preacher the other day. I'm going to take a little diversion. I heard a preacher the other day say, I don't know that I would want a lot of tongue-talking, charismatic believers guarding my house. Because if they saw a burglar carrying my TV set out the window, you know, they'd probably have a meeting. Instead of doing something about it or calling the police, well, maybe he opened the door. Maybe God's doing this to teach him something. And he said, and the truth of the matter is, it's a thief stealing stuff out of my house. And if you were a policeman, bless God, you're supposed to stop it. You're not supposed to call headquarters. You're supposed to stop it. Anyway, that's another night. But that's really where he's getting us to be. When you recognize it's not the will of God, he has you there to bring the will of God. With the power of the Holy Ghost. All right. Luke 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. Now notice, and authority. This is one of my favorite verses because this has both of them. Not just dunamis. That's power. And not just exousia. That's authority. He gave them power and authority. He gave them dunamis and exousia. Whew. Over a few devils. Over all devils. And to cure diseases. Now, these are guys that are not born again. They are not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost. But listen, the king is on the scene. And this is where Doc Dave says he's basically having them go in his stead with his mantle. When the Holy Ghost hears him assigned this assignment to them, then the Holy Ghost works for them the same as if it was him. Now, if you ever get it that he gave you his name, then the Holy Ghost will work for you. If you're there in his name as his representative to do the works of the Father, and you use the same name, he will work for you the same as he did for Jesus. Now, that's exactly how, help me, Lord. Not John G. Lake, but the one that preceded him. I'll just use John G. Lake. Did you know that John G. Lake had a stronger healing ministry before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost than most Christians today after they get baptized in the Holy Ghost? Now, isn't that something? You could say the same thing about the 12, couldn't you? Did they go forward and cure disease? I'm going to read you. Well, let's read it. I've got the verse right here. Verse 9:1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach what? The kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And you come right on down to verse 6 and it says they departed and they went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now they were going forward based on his word alone. And really, that's what John G. Lake was doing before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The two things that he knew before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Number one, healing is in the atonement. He understood that healing was paid for by the stripes of Jesus in exactly the same way that sins were paid for by his blood on the cross. God can't say no. God made that decision 2,000 years ago. Anyone that calls on the name of Jesus to be saved is saved, and God's not choosing, you're choosing. And anyone who calls on those stripes to be healed, they're healed. God's not picking and choosing which one. You choose when you decide to believe. He knew that. And he would go, you remember that verse in where it says, and they went forth everywhere preaching the word, the Lord, preaching the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. That's what was happening with John G. Lake before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he had tremendous success. Then he gets baptized in the Holy Ghost and it only got stronger. Because now he had the power plant in him all the time. And he had the teacher inside of him. Okay, enough. I'm not trying to just exalt John G. Lake. But it is amazing that he had such tremendous results before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost, the Lord, works with and confirms the word with signs following. Luke 9:10, the very next chapter. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. Now, this is the ones that he had sent out. It says they went through all the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So they come back telling him about it. And the apostles, when they were returned, they told him all that he had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. You might ask, well, how many? Well, he healed them that had need of healing. So if they had need of healing, they got healed. Wouldn't that be all? If they had need of healing, they got healed. He healed them all. See? Now, this is an interesting point. You need to make some kind of note right here. See, why was it from the baptism of John? Why not before? I've taught on this many times. See, at the baptism of John, even John didn't know why Jesus wanted to be baptized. He did not understand why. And Jesus didn't really explain it to him. He said, it just behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. It took the Holy Ghost to teach me this. But when Jesus was laid down in that water, see, baptism is a type of death. When Jesus was laid down in that water, he was making a visual vow to the Father. And the Father's looking on his heart. He's saying, I know why I'm here. Father, I am vowing to you today that I am going to go all the way to death. I am going to die for all of mankind. That's my vow to you. But Father, when John raises me up out of the water, Father, that's my faith in you, that you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption. I am trusting you to raise me from the dead. God looks on the heart in the same way that he looked on the heart of Abraham way back when Abraham raised that knife and said, it's done. It's like a gavel came down in heaven. God looked on the heart of Jesus and saw that was he meant it. And it's like a gavel come down. It is done. And at that moment, you've got to understand the transfer of authority went from the first man, Adam, to the last man, Adam. When Jesus went down in that water, he's not dying for himself, is he? He's dying for Adam, the whole species of Adam. And when he goes down and that water covers him, a gavel could come down. If you'll allow me, the first Adam is dead. This man died in his place, but the first Adam is dead. Now, if the first Adam is dead, now isn't God free to reassign dominion to another Adam? You know, Corinthians talks about Jesus being the second man. By the way, the last Adam. He's not called the second Adam. He's called the second man. The last Adam. There's not another one coming. There's not. This is it. There's no other name given under heaven. This is the one right here. But see, the authority transferred from the first. And when that happened, Satan lost his dominion right there. That's why Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth now has been given unto me. He is the second man. He is the last Adam. And that's why the Holy Spirit came on him to exercise the dominion of the king, because the king of the kingdom is on the scene. Oh, God, is that good stuff? And that's why from that time forward, you can preach the kingdom of God because the king is here. And it's no longer, the world's not under the dominion, really, not legally under Satan anymore, because the first Adam is dead. And Satan only ever got it by illegal whatever from that, from the first man Adam when he committed treason. But once that Adam is really dead, he's gone. Satan lost whatever he had. Now all authority, say all. See, all authority means all. How much does that leave for Satan?
None.
If we ever get that, the devil's in real trouble. He has no dominion. He has no authority at all. Only if he gets you to think he does. See, that goes along with this morning's messages. If he gets you thinking you're not free from sin, then you're not free. But you are, but you're not. You are, but you won't walk free. Because he's got you convinced. But he has no authority over you. You have authority and dominion over sin. That's why you can say, let not sin have dominion over you. Isn't that right? Let not sin reign, rule in your mortal body. Why? Because you don't have to. But the devil's job is to get you to thinking you do have to. And if you believe that, you'll walk in that. Well, forget you believing that when you lay your hands on the sick, the Holy Ghost will manifest the power of God. That's going to happen too. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I don't want to preach too hard yet. John Alexander Dowie. That's who I was trying to think of a while ago. See, John Alexander Dowie, well, I got his name now, he was never baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you the truth of it. He preached against the baptism in the Holy Ghost. He fought against all those early guys. And he had, I mean, John G. Lake was tutored by him. So many of those early pioneers that got their start under the ministry of John Alexander Dowie. But see, Dowie, he was the one that taught. There's two things that I know for sure. Healing is in the atonement. And the name of Jesus is above every name. And with those two truths, he went forth and preached. And the Holy Ghost confirmed that word with signs following. You got that? Now see, you can follow the end of his life and it did not end well. He got off into all kinds of crazy stuff. Why? He did not have the teacher. See, I keep telling you, praying in tongues and mortification is more for your protection than it is like you earning anything. He's stripping away false doctrines, stripping away the love of handles and things to make you less vulnerable to Satan's attacks. It's really more for your protection. But see, if you know the truth and you preach the truth, the Holy Ghost will manifest the truth. Okay. Hallelujah. Luke 17:20 said, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Boy, this is good. He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, oh, lo, it's here. Or, look, it's over there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, he's preaching the kingdom of God, even though they were not yet born again. Isn't that right? But was the kingdom of God in him? Oh, absolutely, because the Holy Ghost lived in him. See, the kingdom of God is in you. The Holy Ghost, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost lives in your belly. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers, plural, of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, who had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Bless God, Jesus has been given. And I mean, the Holy Ghost has been given because Jesus has been glorified now. And you have the Holy Ghost living in your belly. And you are, see, we sing those songs. And I mean, I'm having to give up a lot of my songs that I just loved my whole life. And my emotions get moved by them and I want to cry and stuff. But I'm resisting them now because they're indoctrinating me in the wrong way. One of them that I love, I've sang it for years. Holy Spirit, no, forgive my singing. Holy Spirit, come down, come down. Honey, he came down. He's already in you. If you want to sing anything, say, Holy Spirit, flow out. Holy Spirit, flow out. Isn't that right? We keep waiting for, you know, the healing to come from the outside in. And the truth is, the healing's already in you. The anointing's already in you. God himself is walking in you. God. You remember that message I did? Even the title came from him. Honor the God who walks in you. Boy, that was a good one. Honor the God who walks in you. But see, right away, thoughts, I'm just little old me. I'm just nobody. No. God can't use me. That's all devils. That's all humanistic thinking. That's the opposite of the kingdom of God. It's the opposite of what Jesus taught. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, we're going to Romans 14:17. If I had time, we'd do that whole chapter because it's fabulous. Yeah, you got to pretty well do 13, 14, 15, and 16 together. But Romans 14:17 says this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. If we had time, we would go read those chapters. It's talking about, even though you know that you're free, you can eat anything. If eating meat causes your brother to stumble, then you don't do it in front of him. Isn't that right? You got to think about him because he may be just 3 days old in the Lord. He may not know much of anything. See, that's why I don't eat, even when I see have those specials, 99-cent ribeye. Durst thou not knowest that Gary loveth ribeye? 99-cent ribeye. Only problem is, it's at the restaurant in the casino. I'm not going to make a brother stumble. Now, I don't have a gambling problem. I have other problems, but I personally have never had a gambling problem. But a lot of people do. To them, gambling is like cocaine to somebody else. And it'll wreck their marriages. And the last thing I need is for them to see me sitting in the restaurant, eating a night. Yeah, I don't care if it's innocent, and all I'm doing is eating and leaving. If I don't want the devil to have the opportunity to trigger anything in their mind. Well, Gary thinks it's okay. And then they get in there and they get hooked into gambling. I had a lady at the Bible study. Her name was Tammy, little sweetheart. And I just happened to overhear after one of our Bible studies one time. She said, and this girl had struggled. I mean, she struggled so hard. But she said, if I ever saw that Gary in a liquor store, I think I'd just give up on Christianity altogether. Now, what she didn't know. See, I had been long since delivered from liquor. I never had another drink after 1980. But my dad, as he got older, he had leg cramps and he couldn't hardly sleep. And he would have me stop at whatever the name of that liquor store there is, 51st and Lewis, big one. Get him a case, not a bottle, a case of vodka, because it was cheap there. And I would take it up there. Now he wouldn't get drunk on it, but he would, about 9 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock, he'd fix him a Mountain Dew or a Sprite with some vodka in it. And he'd nurse that till he went to bed. And it was just enough to sedative that he could sleep. Take a little wine for your stomach. He was doing it right. He wasn't doing it to get drunk. But see, from that time on, I never went in that liquor store again. From the time I heard her say that, I arranged for somebody else to do that. Because I wasn't going to do it anymore. I'm not going to. Wouldn't it be just like the devil? Just, they'd have them drive by or just right at that moment. And I'm doing something totally innocent. But see, the devil would use that. So that's the kind of thing that Paul is talking about here in Romans 14. He said, Jesus didn't die for you so you could eat the kind of steak you want. He didn't die for you so you could eat pork chops. How many are glad that we're free from the dietary law of Moses? See, but what he's saying is, listen, people are more important than your pork chops. He said, that's not what's important. What is important? Then he lists the three most important things. This is what is important for the kingdom of God. First off, righteousness. Now here we're back to the morning messages, 8:30 and 10 o'clock. Nathan and Alan both, I thought, just did a tremendous job. Walking in righteousness. Listening to the voice of the new nature. Listening to that conscience whenever it starts to trouble you. A truly renewed mind is not a mind full of knowledge, although knowledge is good. A truly renewed mind is one that yields to the voice of the new nature. That's how you walk in holiness. But righteousness comes first. And if you walk in righteousness, if you do, you're pretty well going to walk in peace. You violate that voice, you violate the conscience, and try and walk in peace, can't do it. It isn't going to work. And then, but if you do walk in righteousness and peace, man, something else comes. Joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you, it's more than just joy of walking well-pleasing to the Lord. Real joy. I love how Dave, I'll never forget it. Dave was, I think, standing right about here. He said, when the revival breaks out, he says, those of you that stay and endure, you're going to be really happy campers. Joy, happy campers. He said, when it's your eyes, when it's your hands on the face of that little child born blind, little white eyes, and you watch as they begin to swirl and a pupil forms and they're able to see for the first time. He said, you haven't tasted joy. Man, that's joy. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's another verse for you. 1 Corinthians 4:19. He says, Paul writing to the Corinthians, and boy, this is 1 Corinthians. There's a lot of trouble going on at the 1 Corinthian church. A lot of them, if you looked up the word puffed up, you're going to see, you'll get a lot of interesting things. And that, a lot of them were puffed up, even though there was fornication, open fornication going on in the church. That was so bad, even the heathen wouldn't approve of it. This guy had his father's wife. But anyway, he says, 1 Corinthians 4:19, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. Now get this. And will know, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Now get this. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Did you get that? The kingdom of God. Why he... That thought there takes me right back to where we started. This gospel shall be preached unto all the world as a witness. Then shall the end come. But the kingdom of God has to be preached to them in power, not in word only. Did you get that? Now, how many of you in here know Wayne Horn? Any of you? Well, you missed half your life. Wayne and Evelyn Horn are two of the best people on earth. They live in South Carolina. Wayne, see, I'm 70, so Wayne's got to be 73 or 74. Wayne is, he's a healthy, when I say 74, I challenge you to try and arm wrestle Wayne Horn. Him and Dave, you know how Dave does that thing? Well, Wayne does it right with him. And my God, Brother Gary, you know, he's just a... Wayne at one time wore glasses so thick they looked like Coke bottle glasses. But the Lord healed him. He hasn't needed glasses now for many years. At one time, he was so stove up with arthritis, he could barely drive a vehicle. It hurt so bad, couldn't even do the things required. And got totally healed of arthritis, still healed today. Amen? But Wayne and Evelyn Horn, Evelyn is a sweetheart. She's a really smart person. I saw where she worked once. She works for one of these telephone company things where they've got like a gazillion computers in this room. And anything goes wrong, she's the one that knows how to fix all that. Okay? Sweet. They're both sweet people. But they're not in the fivefold right now. What I mean is they're not, you know, they don't have a title, apostle, prophet, pastor. Believers. But Holy Ghost believers. And we talk all, you know, pretty regular. And I just love them to pieces. But I'm trying to get it across to you. They're just people. See? Okay, it's not Apostle Wayne. Not Prophetess Evelyn. It's Wayne and Evelyn. Got this? All right. She said, Wayne probably... I just got this yesterday. She said, Wayne probably did not tell you about this, but it's for the glory of God through Jesus. And by the way, about an hour ago, I called and got permission from them to share this with you. And I said, now I can do it one of either ways. You know, I can make it anonymous, if you want to. I just say somebody that I know. I said, but if you like persecution, I can tell him your name. I said, give him our name. And I said, hey, we're going to be doing some messages pretty soon. Develop a reputation in hell. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I want it to be B, I know. Helena, I know. Angie, Pat, every one of you. We need a reputation in hell. And when you wake up in the morning, hell shudders. What are they going to do today? What are they going to do today to the kingdom of darkness? How many blind eyes are going to open? How many is going to be healed? How many is going to be saved? Anyway, that's another lesson. All right. Wayne probably did not tell you about this. That person called them. All right. Said someone called us to one day and said that a lady that we know was in the hospital and to please pray for her. Okay. Well, in a couple of weeks, we received another call saying that the doctors had given up on her and the family had too. Nobody from the family was at the hospital or had even been there in several days. Well, the Holy Ghost fell on us. I asked her what her full name was and what hospital she was in and the address. And so we went there in the name of Jesus. They had moved her to a rehab/hospice house. Y'all know what hospice is? When they move you there, they're just waiting on you to die. They're trying to keep you comfortable till you die. We asked where, and we finally got directions to find her. When we got there, there was nobody there at the reception desk. In fact, there was no reception desk. They get to this hospice thing. There's nobody there. I said, well, we'll ride up the elevator to one of the floors and we'll ask around for her. So we got off on the correct floor. We asked a couple of workers who were men in scrubs where her room was, and they directed us to her. When we reached her room, (parentheses, I am not exaggerating, in parentheses, she is a big woman, much bigger than I, and her stomach was bouncing up into the air and back down again, and it got even much worse when we walked in. It looked like she had swallowed a huge medicine ball, and it was trying to get out of her. Y'all got that? I love the honesty. She says, I was not in the spirit at that point. I was so amazed at the sight. I love the honesty, don't you? She was tied down to the bed, and she also had a breathing tube and could not speak to us. That's a sad scene, isn't it? But Wayne, he was in the spirit. Now, I walked over to the bed and spoke to her and asked if she knew who we were. And she nodded her head. Wayne laid his hand on her stomach and commanded the devil to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Her stomach stopped bouncing, and she was trying to come out of the bed. Now Wayne said, it's gone, let's go. We came home, thanking and praising God for setting the captive free. The next day, say next day. I'm picking this up from Nathan. The next day, they removed the breathing tube and the restraints. 2 days after that, she got to come home from the hospital. They called us to tell us what God had done. They said, it's a miracle. And even the doctors were saying, it had to be a miracle. She should have been dead. In all caps here, it says, all glory goes to our Father through the works done. Through the hands of Wayne, in Jesus' name. Now I want you to say something ahead of time. Hold up your hands and look at them. Say this with me. All glory goes to our Father through the works done through my hands, in Jesus' name. All glory to you, Father. But the work is done through these hands. In Jesus' name. Now, isn't that what Jesus said? Last one, Mark 16. I know you should know this by heart by now. I don't want to misquote it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Now, what did he say earlier? The gospel of the kingdom. I want to say it one more way. You got to get this part. When the 12 went out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, do you know they weren't preaching Jesus died for your sins? You know why? Jesus hadn't died yet. They didn't understand what happened at the baptism of John. They didn't understand it. John didn't understand it. Jesus and the Father were the only two that understood it. But they didn't know. So when he sent them forth, preach the kingdom of God is at hand, what are they preaching? God's kingdom is available. If something is at hand, it's you can have it right now. And to prove it to you got any sick here? We're going to show you God's kingdom is superior to any sickness that's in this town. You bring them here, they'll get healed in the name of Jesus. Because we've come to preach to you the kingdom of God is at hand. And it's stronger than anything that the devil has done. Bring all your sick. We'll show you in Jesus' name. We're going to empty out hospitals. You hear me? We're going to empty them out. We really are. We'll pray for employment for all the people. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? But here it is. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. No, I got to say this part. We are supposed to preach Jesus died for your sins. See, the fact that Jesus came, died in our place, was buried, suffered our punishment, rose from the dead, and became the firstborn of a new species, of which now you are part of that new species. That is the gospel that empowers us to preach the gospel of the kingdom. You got that? We do preach that. But where the church has stopped, that's all they've preached, how to be born again, and they've never gone on to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We preach the gospel of Christ, but, the new birth. But he said that's the entry point. If you go back to John 3, he said to Nicodemus, you can't enter. That's the starting point, being born again. Then we're supposed to be purged, take dominion over sin in our own lives. And then start taking dominion over sickness and disease and everything in other people's lives. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I am going to be able to read these verses. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, here it is, in my name shall they cast out devils. Didn't we see that with Wayne Horn? Just little old Wayne and Evelyn from South Carolina come up there, just believers in the name of Jesus. I command you in his name, come out. Okay, it's done. We can go home now. 2 days later, she leaves the hospital. Glory to God. They will take up serpents. They'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. If he'll do it, trust me. If Wayne was here right now, he'd say, my brothers and sisters, Wayne. My brothers, my sisters. If he'll do it through my hands, he'll do it through yours. You got the same Holy Ghost that I got. You got the same power. What you need is to believe it and to act on it. And you'll see the same results. Is that good preaching or what? Hallelujah.